first voice message, so please forgive me, but I just finished your episode on women who run with the wolves. And I have to say, I found myself tearing up at the end of it as you were reading off the rules. There's so much more I could say. I just feel like my brain is spinning right now, but howling more often hit me really hard. And I think it's just amazing how often whatever I'm going through in my life, whatever themes are coming up, I always resonate with your episodes. They're always so timely and magical, and I appreciate you.
Hi guys, welcome back to Conversations with Moon Body Soul. You just heard my first ever voice message for the podcast. I'm so excited about that feature. If you guys don't know, I have a page where you can go leave a voicemail and ask me a question or share your thoughts on an episode, and I will share it here on the podcast like I just did. So thank you so much, Laura, for that message. I'm so happy that the episodes speak to you and that you enjoy them. And when you brought up the women who run with wolves, the 10 lessons, I'm so happy you reminded me of them because they are so, so good, and I need to be reminded of them. So thank you. Tonight, I am going to just catch you guys up on what's happening in my life instead of waiting 3 years to do so like last time. I haven't done a solo episode in a while. As you've noticed, I've had guests on the show, which I absolutely love, but I am excited to catch you up on some things that are happening in my life, happening with Moon Body Soul, and also answer your questions. A couple days ago, I put on Instagram that I was going to be doing a solo episode and asked you guys for topic suggestions and questions, and you delivered. So we're just gonna work through some of those and answer your questions and yeah, catch up on everything. But to tell you how I'm arriving tonight, it is nighttime. It's about 7:15 in the evening. The sun is setting, which is wild that the sun sets so early now. It feels like summer just ends in a flash. I just can't believe it's over, but I'm also super excited for fall. And I have a little bit of chamomile tea here that I grew myself in the garden. I have a beeswax candle that is giving just such a nice ambiance to this room, and I feel really, really cozy and really inspired to just hit record and see what comes out of this. So thanks for joining me tonight. Let's dive in. So the first question that I got was just life update ? I love that. Last time I did a solo episode where I was kind of just giving you updates on life was 6 months ago. It was when I restarted this podcast. So in that time, I have grown my garden. I've used a lot of the flowers. I printed a lot of things. I launched a new company with my husband, which I'll definitely get into. I've legally changed my name to my husband's last name after we got married, which, side note, I definitely think that it should be a law that the husband should have to do that for the wife. They should have to go to the DMV, the Social Security office. They should have to call your bank. It should not be all on the wife to do that if you choose to take your husband's last name or your partner's last name. Whosever last name is being kept, it should be that person's role and responsibility to go change the name of their spouse. What else is new? I've had some mentees. If you didn't know, I do a small business mentorship where I help people with their goals. I just helped someone launch a new website, which is really awesome. I've really enjoyed that. That's something that brings me so much joy, just getting to be creative and completely focus on someone else's dream and help them. It just brings me a lot of joy. I've also made some rugs. I took a really big break this summer from rug making because it is really hot in our house. I'm lucky here in the mountains, we're just 600 feet elevation, but I'm really lucky that at nighttime it does get cooler. We're able to turn on this really big attic fan, open the windows, bring in the cold air. So in the morning it's nice and crisp and cool, But in the afternoon, it does get extremely stuffy and hot in the house when it's like 100 degrees outside. So I haven't wanted to be in my office making rugs. I've taken a huge break, but right now I've just started rug making again. I have a beautiful custom up there. It's a mountains and sunset, moonrise, ocean kind of yin-yang that I really, really love. And I'm working on a few other rugs to finish that frame, and that's kind of what I'll be focusing on the rest of this week work-wise. We haven't really traveled much at all in the last 6 months. We actually made a big choice to stay home and experience this area in the early summer, and I'm so happy that we did. Absolutely beautiful. It's actually been a really mild summer, knock on wood, because I know September and October can be extremely uncomfortable and hot here, but it's been gorgeous. We've really loved it. I got to take care of my garden. I got to grow tomatoes and help Robert with his garden here on the property. And it's just been a really fun experience to stay in one place. The only trip that we did, we went down to Lake Arrowhead to visit Bentley's family, and that was really fun. But other than that, we've stayed put and had some people visit us, which has been really nice. My sister came and visited, and so did my best friend Alice. That was really fun. So I've had a really low-key summer besides focusing a ton on work. So I guess I might as well dive in. When I think of life update, right now what comes to mind is just long to-do lists and trying to get everything done and keep everyone happy. Keep my customers happy, especially the ones that have hired me to do these custom pieces, either dye work or rug work. Keep things within a good time frame, and then also keep things peaceful between Bentley and I as we work on our first like official company together. So I might as well go into what that is. I'm sure you've seen me sharing. I try to share it all the time on Instagram, but we launched a coffee company, and I'm going to have him come on the podcast as a guest, and we will really go into the coffee company, but I do want to share a little bit about what it is now, and then when I have him on, we can go into more details. So it's called Abbott Coffee. I absolutely love coffee. I've been a coffee drinker for at least, oh man, I'm trying to think if I did drink coffee in college for sure. So I've been a coffee drinker for like since I was 17, 18 years old. It wasn't until I moved to Santa Monica in like 2015 that I became kind of a coffee snob, or I guess a nicer way to put that is a coffee connoisseur, but I started to really care about my coffee, and it became such a ritual. It wasn't just, you know, stopping off at Starbucks. It was actually like making a really good cup at home and then finding small coffee shops that truly cared about how their coffee tasted. And I loved that. I loved LA has a great coffee scene. They have amazing coffee shops. Absolutely loved it. Then we moved to downtown LA, and I lived pretty much next door to Stumptown in the Arts District. If you've never been to Stumptown Coffee, it's awesome. They roast their beans on site there in LA. And I learned a lot about coffee there. And I even took like, they have community classes there that you can take, some cupping classes, and I really just became fascinated with the world of coffee. I started to try different regions and flavors and really started to develop my palate and find out what I really like. So without really going into the story about what kind of kickstarted Bentley and I into wanting to launch our own coffee company, I will say that organic coffee is super important to me. And what I noticed is a lot of the big name fancy coffee shops, hip coffee roasters, they do have some organic options, but not everything is organic, and you're paying a huge premium if you do want to get their organic batches. And I kind of hate that. I kind of hate seeing a menu and being like, oh, only three of these are actually organic, because organic really does matter to me. If you're not familiar, especially when it comes to coffee, that is one of the most chemically treated plants that grow. And also when it's not organic, it's usually a huge monocrop. When it is organic, there are a lot of different companion plants and crops around. They're usually grown more in the shade. It's just better for the soil, better for the environment, better for the people working with the plant and harvesting it, etc. I could go on and on. I won't, but organic really mattered to me. I wanted to have a coffee company where everything that you get is organic, that you could sign up for a subscription for any coffee and it would be organic and fresh roasted. So without going into too much, because I am going to have Bentley on the show, our coffee company is Abbott Coffee. We'll go into the story of why we chose that name, why, what started us wanting to start this company, all of that when he's on the show. But I will just give us a plug, abbottcoffee.co. You can check it out. We have an amazing variety of different coffees on the site. I think we have 8 different single origins right now, and they're all roasted when you order. So they're roasted on demand. By the time they're shipped and arrive to you, they've cured to perfection. It is seriously the freshest coffee you can drink. All's that to say is that trying to grow Abbott Coffee, work on Abbott Coffee alongside my partner, has been a lot with also keeping Moon Body Soul going. And I have wanted to shift my priorities. I have wanted to keep Moon Body Soul something that I can do that's fun and creative, and I have such an amazing community. But the day in and day out of the business side of that, the shipping of orders, all of that, I know I've mentioned it on the podcast before, it has been stressing me out. It's lost its luster for me. Things have felt a little monotonous, and I've wanted to just focus on the things that do bring me joy, like creating, doing this podcast, absolutely love it, my mentorship, making stuff with my hands, and then now this coffee company, because I would love for this coffee company to be a big part of my focus and give Bentley and I something to help us support our family, which would be amazing. So yeah, I've just been trying to keep up. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm also super grateful. Like, I love how much support we've had from launching. Most of our orders, like a huge percentage, are Moon Body Soul customers that have tried the coffee, and it just makes me really excited, and I just feel really held by this community. So thank you guys if you've checked that out, or if you followed along or supported me in any way. Bentley and I are super grateful, and we will be giving away an espresso machine really, really soon. So be sure to follow at Abbott Coffee so you don't miss that giveaway. We are working on all of the details right now, but we have an espresso machine that we're really excited to send to somebody. Okay, that is enough of coffee talk, and I think that is a pretty good summed up life update. I know that I've shared on the podcast my PMDD diagnosis, I'm putting that in quotes, and also how I have tried to treat that with talk therapy and also microdosing. I've kind of talked about it across a few different episodes. That is still ongoing. So I don't know if I shared on the podcast, I did break up with my therapist. I don't think I shared that. I want to find a new one. Still, I haven't yet, but I did break up with the therapist that was assigned to me through my health insurance. I think I shared on my episode with Megan, my friend who is a therapist that came on, about my kind of rub with my therapist and just not feeling like it was a good connection. And it really matters in terms of success with therapy that you connect and trust the person that's giving you therapy. And so I decided to thank her, but tell her that I will be looking elsewhere. And I have to be honest, I have not done a good job of looking for someone else recently. It was super overwhelming going through a lot of profiles, emailing people, getting responses back that it was either too expensive or they didn't have any availability, etc. just an overall not fun process. I do want to find somebody to talk to soon, and I think that this transition to fall will be a good time to kind of ground into that energy and want to have kind of more of a schedule where I could focus on that. And this is a good segue to the next question, is what books have you been reading? I'm kind of shocked. I just got my phone out and opened up the Libby app, my library app, where I can check out books for free, which is amazing, by the way. If you can stand waiting for something and having it be on hold and then having a timeline that you have to finish it in, those are the drawbacks, but the books are free. But I'm quite shocked because I just got this out and I'm looking at the last like 6 months, and wow, have I not read much at all. For me in the summer, I feel like it's such an energy of being more social. Even if I'm not seeing people in person as much, I'm on the phone with my friends. I'm staying up late with Bentley. Like, it's definitely an energy that is not like ground down, relax, cozy up with the book. At least it's not for me. I don't like go to the beach and read. I don't go to the forest and read. That's just not something that I do in the summer, it seems. So looking back though, the latest book that I'm reading is called The Psilocybin Handbook for Women: How Magic Mushrooms, Psychedelic Therapy, and Microdosing Can Benefit Your Mental, Physical, and Spiritual Health. I really like this one. I would love for the author to come on the podcast, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but I had not seen a specific book for women about psilocybin and about psychedelics, and it's pretty cool. She goes into PMDD a little bit and talks about what's happening in the brain and talks about how mushrooms could potentially help and where at in the cycle they could help. And when I was trying microdosing for my PMDD, I only tried it, I should really check in my journal and see, but I think I only did it for a month, maybe 2 months. And I had a feeling I should have stuck it out for a third month. And in this book specifically, she said if you were going to try that, that you should at least give it 3 months and then take a break and see how you feel. And I've heard from other holistic practitioners that things that you change with your cycle specifically, it takes about 3 months to notice any of those changes in your cycle. So I should have stuck it out. I will say that the day-to-day overall throughout the month, I felt better. I was doing a Monday, Wednesday, Friday approach, and I only did that for it to be easy to remember. I know a lot of other approaches are like one day on, 2 days off, and then you're on again. And like, I think that's probably great. But as far as me remembering like what day I'm on, it's hard for me. So just knowing Monday, Wednesday, Friday made it really easy. And overall, yes, I felt better. But did I still have symptoms of PMDD? I did, for sure. I had some really low lows. One of the things that I do actually when I'm feeling those low lows, I open up my notes app. I have a specific note where I just let myself dump out everything that I'm feeling, all of the horrible, horrible things that I'm feeling, because it is bad. Like, I would not want anyone to read that note. I would not want anyone to feel the way that I feel when I feel those low lows. And I noticed that during those months that I was doing the microdosing, I still had like one or two entries on that note. But I did notice, actually, when I went back and looked, there was a month after stopping the microdosing that I did not write in that note at all. And as far as I can remember, like, I mean, it's a habit now that I open that and I do that. So yeah, I want to give it another shot. I definitely do. And after reading this book and kind of understanding how there's the other book that I read too called A Really Good Day. I mentioned that in the psychedelic episode. She talks about how some doctors use SSRIs for PMDD. That's something I don't want to do, but I was seeing at when they're utilizing the SSRIs, and maybe that would be a way that I could use microdosing on those certain days of the cycle versus doing it throughout the entire cycle, if that makes sense. So I don't want to go off on too big of a tangent with that, but that is something that's been top of mind for me, and I really do enjoy this book. If you listen to the last episode with Courtney Rivers, we get into psychedelics and motherhood a little bit. If you want to dive a little bit deeper into that, this book is awesome because she goes into some of the ways that indigenous cultures view that, and also if there's any sort of information out there now that's helpful in the scientific culture as well. So it's a really neat book. I really enjoy it. Other books that I've been reading, again, there's not much, but I downloaded Eat Your Flowers, a cookbook by Loria Stern. Absolutely love it. I'm actually going to buy a hard copy of this book. It is amazing. I love the stuff that she creates. If you follow her on Instagram, I think it's at Eat Your Flowers is her company page. She was on Shark Tank too, but I've been following her for years. I actually wanted her to make our wedding cake. I've always absolutely loved her beautiful wedding cakes. They have pressed flowers all over them. So that doesn't really count as reading a book, although I did read it. But that's kind of been what my library app looks like. It looks like a bunch of dye books and that cookbook. Oh, and I'm reminded of this book that I started that I did not finish that I want to recheck out. It's called The O Manuscript by Lars Mohl, I think is how you say his name. I started that back in May and I really, really liked it. And I did not finish it and it got taken back. Another book that I am still reading that I bought is called The Overstory by Richard Powers. If you listen to the podcast with Sarah Sunshine Gardens, we talk about this book. I still have 10% left to read. I love it. This is maybe one of those things, though, where I don't want it to end, so I'm not finishing it. Like, I'm actively not opening it and finishing it, even though there's just 10% left. So, yeah, that's one that I'm still reading. If you love trees and storytelling, it weaves like 9 different stories into one about the ancient redwood forest and all trees from all over. It's amazing. Love that book. Another book that I read was The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. That one is, I think, kind of needs a trigger warning or like a warning label to not read it if you're feeling really depressed. I mean, although you might feel a sense of like being seen, it is a story about a woman with severe depression, and it can be like kind of triggering. There's suicide in it. So it's kind of dark, I'll warn you on that, but it is a classic. I think it's like more than 50 years old. Sylvia Plath was a poet. This was her only novel that she wrote before she committed suicide, and it's a little bit of an autobiography, even though it's a fiction story. It's really beautifully written, but I think it can be quite triggering. Another book that I read, this was like, all of these books are more in the spring from here on out. These were like early spring books. One was called Meditations with Cows, What I Learned from Daisy, the Dairy Cow Who Changed My Life by Shreve Stockton. I loved this book so much. It is filled with a lot of information and also this woman's kind of memoir about this time in her life raising this dairy cow, which I loved. And another memoir that I read was The Year of Horses by Courtney Maugham. I might be saying her name wrong. It's a memoir. It made me want to go ride a horse like so bad. It's really beautifully written as well. And lastly, Hester. I talked about that in another podcast too, but Hester is a novel and it is about a quote unquote witch from Ireland or Scotland, I can't remember, that is then in Salem. I think she's in Salem. Anyways, it was really great. My mom loved that book and told me to read it. I think that was everything that I read kind of in the spring. And then yeah, this summer it's been hit or miss as far as reading. I actually cannot wait for fall and winter so I can curl up and read more. And I just want to say I really love historical fiction and I really love memoirs. So if you have any of those, send them my way. I went through a big Barbara Wood phase. She's a historical fiction writer. I wouldn't really call them romance novels. There is a little bit of romance, it seems, in each one. But I really love the way that she writes, and I love the stories and the history. So historical fiction, great. Memoirs, great. Send them my way. The next question asks, what are you most looking forward to this fall? Favorite fall self-care ideas? Reading, yes, can't wait for that. I also can't wait for building a fire in the house. We have a wood-burning stove. I love the ritual of it. I know as I'm saying this right now, there's going to be a time where I am so sick of building a fire, but right now I'm like really ready for that. Can't wait to get cozy with the fire. I love making my tea on top of it. When we lost power, I cooked on top of the wood-burning stove. I just love the ritual of chopping wood, bringing it in, finding the kindling, lighting it, getting all cozy, putting the sheepskin rug in front of it, cuddling up with Murphy. It's really like good for my soul. I can't wait for that. I would definitely say that as a form of self-care. I find that I drink more tea when that is happening as well. So drinking more tea. I'm kind of sad at my attempt to harvest chamomile tea. I grew a bunch of chamomile, but I was really bad at harvesting it. And this was a weird season, or at least that's what Robert keeps telling me to make me feel better, where it was a slow start and then it did get hot really fast. So it wasn't the best start for early flowers like chamomile. That's more of a springtime, early summer plant. There are a few chamomile plants hanging on, but I have not been harvesting. And this cup that I'm currently enjoying, I only have like a few more handfuls of my own chamomile tea, which makes me sad. But it just gives me goals next year to grow more. I also cannot wait for bath season. I always call fall bath season. That is when I will restock the website with baths. That's when I start taking more baths. When I'm in the bath, there are a few things I like to do. So I do like to read. It's a great place for me to focus and read and just have my phone playing piano music. I love that. But I also really love doing breathing exercises in the tub or just focusing on my breath in the tub. It's really cool if you've never done it to just lay back as deep as you can in the water. And as you inhale, you'll notice that you float a little bit to the top. And as you exhale, you'll notice that you sink back down. And it's just a really, oh, just juicy feeling to feel your whole body moving that way in the water. So baths are probably the number one thing I'm looking forward to. I will also throw in making soup. I want to learn how to make more soups and stews. I think cooking is a huge, huge form of self-care. And I want to prioritize it more. I want to make yummy soups. Last year, at the very end of the season, I made us little bread bowls with our sourdough that we put our soup in. I definitely want to do that. I'm still making a lot of sourdough. I did have to change my recipe for the summer. It turns out that the climate can totally change how your dough proofs, the time it takes, the sourness to it. And I find that the recipe that I had kind of created and was working with in the winter and the spring was perfect for that high humidity, cold, cold night. And in the summer, it just was, I think, overproofing, going too fast. So I've changed my recipe. So now I have a summer recipe and a winter recipe, but I'm excited to make more bread and bread bowls and soup. The next question is just mountain living versus city. I think I've talked about this quite a bit, but I'm happy to talk about it more because they are so different. There are positives to both. There are negatives to both. I will say I think I will be a mountain rural living person. I mean, as far as I can tell for the foreseeable future. Versus the city. Things I miss going to get any food at anytime and having like all of the most amazing restaurants, takeout, all of it, coffee, all of it, anytime you want. I miss that a lot. Here I'm cooking almost every single meal. There's not really many restaurants in town or many ones that we can go to. Bentley has a peanut allergy. I try to eat gluten-free and a little bit healthier. So I cook a lot and I miss that a lot. I don't miss it enough to go back because I love the nature, obviously. I love the solitude, the quietness. I will say I've mentioned a little bit how we live on kind of a commune, I joke, but there are more people on this property. And this property is pretty big. We rent this house. It's like 5 or 6 acres. So we are like spread out. There's lots of room, but there are more people on the land. So it's not as quiet and secluded as it felt when we first moved in. I'm kind of missing that. I do love like just going out on the deck and not seeing anybody and yeah, just being out in the garden and there not being anybody. But I also really love the community we're developing here. So it is definitely more quiet than the city. I would not change it at all. I absolutely love it. But I will say that I can get lonely. So I do call my friends a lot. I FaceTime my family. I'm trying to build more of a community here, but I wouldn't say I'm doing the best job at it. I really would love to meet more people in our small town and have more friends nearby, because that is something that in the city, it's so easy. There's so many events. Once you start meeting people, you can easily hang out with them. And yeah, I definitely miss that about the city. I would say that I feel safer here. I feel extremely safe. I love how secluded it is. I love that I can go out into nature on hikes and in the woods and like not see many people. I love that going to the grocery store, I'm seeing like a small number of people versus like a huge supermarket. Like I just love the more small, safe. I don't know how to explain it. My body just feels more at ease. We've gone back to LA a few times. We've gone to different cities. We've gone into San Francisco just last month for my birthday. And like, man, being in a city, when we were in San Francisco, we went to a free concert at Stern Grove. Super cool venue. It's this grove of trees in the middle of the city. It's a free concert series every weekend in the summer. And my birthday was the last concert of the season. It was the Flaming Lips. Such a neat experience. Oh my goodness, there were so many people there. And the way that it's set up, it's just this huge cliff with eucalyptus trees and redwoods. And then down in the valley is where the stage is. And so you're just kind of perched up on the hill. And we laid out blankets. Bentley and I, it was just us two. And then before the show started, like, wow, so many people piled in that there were like blankets on top of our blankets. You were just right next to other people. I had a mini panic attack, especially when I got up to go to the bathroom and find a porta potty. Just trying to walk out of there and get off of our little blanket area, it was terrifying for me. I noticed when I was waiting in line to go to the bathroom that like my heart was racing and I haven't been around that many people. It was just a lot to be around that many people, but also really cool. The show was so cool and moving, and like hearing them sing Do You Realize, I was bawling like a baby. I love that song. If you've never heard it, yeah, that show was really, really cool. So things like that, we don't get to go to comedy, we don't get to go to music shows, but I don't think I would change it. And I kind of love that we're about an hour from a major city. We're like 30 minutes from Santa Cruz, which definitely feels like a city to me in comparison. So I'm definitely a mountain girly. I think this is where I want to live. I love it here. It's perfect. The next question is about building the van. Bentley and I built a camper van in 2020. We bought a Ford Transit cargo van. I for sure talked about it, or you've seen me post about it. I've wanted to have him on the podcast to talk about the van because if we're being honest, he did most of the build. He was totally the carpenter. I mean, I was there every step of the way. I helped, you know, pick out stuff and learn about things, but really he was doing the nitty-gritty of it. I was mainly doing like the aesthetic things. I was painting and staining and helping install when he needed an extra set of hands, but he really did it all. I almost feel like I can't talk about building the van. I was like more adjacent to it. It was so challenging for both of us. I joked that if you wanted to know if you should marry somebody, you should try to build a van together first, because man, it brings out some intense sides of a person. It really tests you and challenges you. I mean, he was learning electricity and plumbing. He did pretty much everything. The only thing that he did not do was installing the window that's on our sliding door because it was a cargo van. There was no window there. And then we also got body work on the van done and new tires on the van. Like, he didn't install the off-road tires. We didn't do any of the body work. So the back part of the van, we had installed what they're called flares, and it bubbles out like the back of the van in order for us to put our bed sideways so that we could sleep sideways to save space. I don't need the flare. I am a 5'3" short person. Bentley is like 6'4", so he definitely needed it. But yeah, we didn't do the flares. Everything else we did ourselves. We cut the roof to install a fan and an AC. He installed solar power. He did all the electricity. I was in charge of picking the water filter because I'm really kind of crazy about water. And I found us the most insane water filter. And then yeah, I did like tile work. Other than that, it was all him. So I feel like when I have him on the pod to catch up, talk about life, talk about the coffee company, we should maybe also talk about building a van. Would I say that someone should do it? I mean, if you go into it knowing what you're going into, yes. If that sounds like fun to you, yes. We were so naive. We watched so much YouTube and we were like, oh my God, all these people took like a year or two to build their van. Why didn't they just focus on it? Like, we're gonna build ours in 3 months. No way. We were so naive. So dumb. It took us almost 2 years. And then even now, it's not 100% done. We still want to finish the what we call the garage. When you open the back doors underneath the bed, we have stuff to like encase that area in acrylic, like where our batteries are. We need to finish like cleaning up the way that we did our shower, because we literally made our shower when we were on the road. And Bentley did a pretty bad job of like grouting the lines. But we just really wanted to go on a trip last year and we finished it as much as we could and we got it like 90% done. So there's little things that we want to tweak and finish. But right now it's actually at a body shop. We dropped it off today to fix the fender that we got sideswiped in October before we left. October of 2021 before we left LA, Bentley got sideswiped by a woman and we just never got it fixed, and I finally could not stand it anymore, and so I got it fixed. It's getting fixed right now. I hope we pick it up tomorrow. I hope it's all done. But yeah, Bentley will have to be here to talk about the van. I just don't think it's fair for me to try to explain his experience, but was it worth it? Yes. Do we love it? Yes. Getting to go everywhere in it? So much fun. I was actually just thinking about this. People always talk about like time traveling and wanting to like go back in time and talk to people. I would love to go back in time with the van, specifically to like the Oregon Trail days. I think that was like the mid 1800s. I'm not sure exactly. But can you imagine showing somebody in a covered wagon, like Santa Fe Trail, Oregon Trail, what we have in our van today? It's completely off-grid and self-sustaining, so it literally could go back in time and work. Like, it would just blow their minds that we're harnessing the power of the sun to, like, clean our water and give us lights inside. Like, I don't even know. I'm going to sound really stupid. Was there electricity? I feel like I have to Google it. Okay, I don't feel that stupid. It wasn't until 1925 that half of all the homes in the U.S. had electric power. The Santa Fe Trail was in the 1820s, and the Oregon Trail was in the 1840s. So these people would be totally mind blown if we showed up in our van with electricity, with running water, with a compost toilet, with a shower, with all the stuff. It would be absolutely amazing. Besides like needing gasoline, it would be so cool to show people what that is as they're traveling by these like wagons, because this is like the modern day covered wagon. Which this is actually a good next segue. Somehow these have all segued really, really great. The next question is thoughts on other life forms and timelines, like different dimensions of time. This is something I totally love to nerd out on. I love thinking of multi-dimensions, the multiverse, like any sort of sci-fi that deals with time travel or other dimensions, a Black Mirror episode, all of that is totally my jam. I don't fully have any formed opinions that I could explain here without sounding completely stupid, but I will tell you some of my favorite movies that I've watched that talk about alternate timelines. The one that probably was the most moving for me, but is also one of the most insane, like out there movies, is Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'll just read you the synopsis. It says, a middle-aged Chinese immigrant is swept up into an insane adventure in which she alone can save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives that she could have led. It is out there, I will say that. It won 7 Oscars, so I'm sure that you have heard about it. but if you have not yet seen it, and that's something that you're interested in, definitely watch it. Wow. I will say I told my mom to watch it. She didn't really get it. I talked to my sister about it. She absolutely loved it. I could watch it again. I think it was amazing. There is another film that came out that I wanted to watch, and I feel like maybe after I end this podcast, I should just go watch it. It is called Past Lives. If you've seen it, let me know. It is about a family that are immigrants from South Korea. I think that she like sees or comes in contact with somebody that she was friends with as a child. And it talks about like different timelines, kind of a what if. I'm not really sure actually, but I've heard it's great. I've seen the preview. I really like it. Something about me though is I do not like to see previews. I actually hate previews. If someone tells me a movie's good, I'm like, great, I'll watch it. But if I start watching a preview and I'm like, ooh, this is interesting, I turn it off instantly because I feel like previews just give way too much of the story away and I will not watch them. Like if Bentley's like, ooh, I want to show you this, should we watch this? I'm like, if you liked the preview, yes, don't show me the preview. It'll ruin it for me because I will remember what happened in the preview and I'll be waiting for it the entire movie. I love stuff like this. I love the idea of timeline jumping. I love the idea of quantum mechanics. I don't understand it fully, but I do think that there are multiple timelines out there. My vows to Bentley actually talked about that and about us seeing each other in all of the different timelines. I think that it's definitely something that we don't fully understand, and it's a really fun mind puzzle to contemplate it and to feel how small and tiny we are in this huge, huge universe. The question also asked about other life forms, and yes, I don't think we're alone. I don't think we are the only ones. Another really interesting thing for me to think about is ancient Egypt and any sort of ruins. I love like lost cities. I love these crazy monuments and buildings that civilizations have left. It's like the only thing left. I feel like we are not the only ones that have the technology that we have. I think about it a lot. Like if we were to be wiped from the face of the earth, eventually all of our computers and microchips, all of that stuff would break down. There would not be much left. So I really think that other civilizations probably had similar technology to ours, if not better. And eventually everything was on these like devices and microchips that eventually are gone. And so there's no trace to them. I really like thinking about that stuff. Again, that's why I like historical fiction. I love when there's a little bit of a story or a theory as to why something was the way it was. And I find it fascinating, I'm sure a lot of you do, that we were told there are aliens and unidentified flying objects, etc., and nobody seems to care. Like, we're all just trying to survive, trying to hang in there in this crazy time that we're like, aliens, cool. I feel like if we were told that 10 years ago, it would have been received a lot different. I would actually love to have somebody on the podcast to talk about this kind of stuff, to talk about the quantum realm, to talk about aliens, to talk about all that crazy stuff, because yeah, I'm interested. I would say that I'm not as big of a skeptic as most, but I'm also not attached to any one theory or idea. I just like exploring them. All right, complete 180. The last question that I'm going to answer is how to sit with anxiety, embrace it, and let it go. Honestly, the way that you ask that question has what I believe to be the answer within it. When you feel anxiety coming on, the best thing you can do is sit with it, explore it, embrace it, ask it why it's showing up. If anything is coming up for you, it's usually because it has something it's trying to tell you, something that maybe your conscious mind isn't grasping, but your subconscious, your higher self wants you to know, wants you to focus on. And so anxiety shows up as that messenger. The more that we can sit and try to invite it in and actually listen to it, give it space, and really try to hear and feel why it's there, the easier it is to let it go. So if you can treat it more as a messenger, more as a gift, more as information, the easier it can be to understand it and decide to let it go. And I know that that can sound really hard, especially if you're feeling super anxious, like, I can't just decide to let it go. Like, no, it's not that easy. But if you can, try to give yourself grace and space and time to feel it and understand it, then it will feel like you have a choice to allow it to move on and let it go. Anxiety is something I've dealt with. I would say I didn't really name it and understand it until college, my freshman year. That's when I was like, what is this? I was having mainly test anxiety to start, sitting in these big classes in these like huge auditoriums. I would get test anxiety. I would get anxiety listening to lectures and just feeling like, how am I supposed to take all this in? I feel like high school was beyond easy for me. I don't know if it was just my rural small town Kansas curriculum or the teachers there, but it felt really easy in comparison. And when I got to college and I was in these 900 person auditoriums trying to learn math from somebody with an accent, it was hard for me and I really struggled. And biology, science specifically, anything where you had to memorize a lot of different names and processes, that was really hard for me. And that's when I first named, like, wow, I'm having test anxiety. I remember running out of one of those classes and going outside and like hyperventilating and not being able to calm down. And finally, I was able to call my mom and I just said, I don't know what's going on, but like, I can't breathe. And that's when she said that she wanted me to go to yoga, which she had taught yoga when I was in high school. I attended a few of her classes, but I didn't take it seriously. I thought it was stretching. And it wasn't until I experienced that anxiety that I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And I signed up for some yoga at our rec center at the college, and it changed my life, completely changed the trajectory of my life. I also at the same time went to a therapist at our school. So it was somebody who was a grad student, and she was amazing. I connected with her right away, and just having someone to talk to and listen to me explain what all of my worries were felt like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. I also was put on anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication at that time. And now I have total mixed feelings about medication for myself. I think that there is a place for it for everybody. It's a personal decision. I never like look down on anybody that chooses to use medication to manage these symptoms. But it does feel to me that it's something that you use to manage symptoms and not something that's going to help you get to that root of why it's coming up for you. But I did take some anti-anxiety, depression medication. I started seeing a therapist and I started doing yoga. And what I found was that yoga and these breath techniques had the biggest impact in helping me. It felt like the medication, the side effects, and just the overall taking something day in and day out, it did not feel as supportive to me. And I really didn't like feeling tired and feeling kind of numb or like not feeling as much overall. So I talked to my doctor, I weaned off of it, and I started going to yoga meditation seriously. And that's when I got certified in yoga. My first certification was there through my school, and I started teaching. And I find that one of the easiest ways that I learn something is by teaching someone else, no matter what it is. If I'm trying to explain it to someone else, it helps me really understand something fully. But I found that the breathing techniques helped the most, and just having that space where you could go into a class where the lights are dim, maybe there's candles, and you had an hour to just sweat and move, and you could cry, and there was loud music, and just release. And that helped me tremendously, and it's something I really miss. I haven't found a studio since moving here that I go to, and I definitely don't practice enough on my own in that way. And I know it's so powerful and so helpful for my mental health. That is what taught me to sit with anxiety. And I found that anxiety often, something I would be worried about, would come out in a rage and in an anger as well. And it was something that my sisters actually, once I started doing yoga and incorporating these different things, they said that they felt like I was a completely different person because I had so much more patience. And I wasn't as quick to anger, and I wasn't as quick to snapping or being rude or hateful or hurtful. I think, again, the answer to your question is in the question and the way that you asked it. It's really about sitting with it, naming with it. I like to sometimes say, like, invite it for tea and sit down and have a conversation. And you can even do that if you really like to journal, that's your thing. Sit down with your journal and start to talk to anxiety as if it's a person and see what comes up. Or just ask yourself, like, why? What do I think is triggering this? What do I think is causing this? And just see what comes up and be really gentle with yourself. Give yourself the amount of space and love that you would give to a friend if they were coming to you saying that they felt in that certain way. And also, reach out to somebody. If you have a friend that you can talk to when you're feeling anxious, I know now, later in my life, I'm a lot better about this, but I like to ask somebody or warn them, like, hey, I'm in this state right now. Are you cool with me dumping it all out and venting? Or, hey, can you be there for me right now? I'm experiencing a lot of anxiety. So, like, asking for permission to open up, asking if they have the space to help you, will make you maybe feel even more supportive to let go of it and have that ear or that shoulder that you need in that time. So reach out to your support system. That's huge too. But also give yourself that time and space. And then breathing exercises. I have, you guys can hear Murphy is on the ground next to me and she's just trying to get comfy. I have a few guided meditations on my website. I want to say the 5-minute reset is where I go into this particular breath exercise. So the breath is an inhale for 4, holding for 7, and an exhaling out the mouth for 8. So you inhale for 4, deep and fast, and then you hold for 7 and feel that fullness and that expansion. And then exhale out your mouth forcefully for 8. And then repeat. I find that that technique is a reset. And so I called it the 5-minute reset. That technique resets my brain to whatever I'm feeling, if it's hard, if it's sadness, if it's anxiousness, if it's anger. It just kind of flips that switch. And I find it super helpful. So that's a technique that you can try. And then there's other ones as well. Some people really like box breathing, where you're inhaling for 4, holding for 4, exhaling for 4, being empty for 4, inhaling for 4. It's the entire box. That's a great one too. But play around and see if those are helpful to you. And if you like being guided or if you like doing it yourself, I hope that that was helpful. I think that this is all the time that I have to answer questions and give you life updates, but I do have one more update that I want to share. I've partnered with a brand that I'm obsessed with. It's called Pact, P-A-C-T. I love their clothes. As you know, I love organic. I love organic products. They use organic cotton. I think it's one of the best, softest, high vibrational fabrics that you can wear on your skin. Any sort of natural fiber is amazing. No plastics whatsoever. Most people don't even realize like polyester, spandex, all of that is plastic. It's petrochemicals. Especially if you're sweating and moving, like, oh, I hate wearing those fabrics. I love organic cotton. And I've partnered with Pact. I'm so excited. I have a link in the show notes, but you can also go to their website and use code MoonBodySoul15 for 15% off your first order. You will find on their website so many incredible cozy sweaters for fall. I haven't yet shopped for their sweaters, but I did just get a pair of their airplane joggers. So incredibly comfy. And I also got some organic cotton underwear, which underwear is really hard to find in organic cotton, especially comfy and cute and easy for everyday wear. I think it's so important when you're talking about one of the most absorbent parts of your body, one of the most sacred parts of your body, to have organic cotton. So breathable and comfortable. I love sleeping in them specifically. I love Pact. So check it out. There's a link in the show notes, and you can also use MoonBodySoul15 for your first order. I am talking with them about giving us a code for returning customers. If you already know and love Pact, that you can still take advantage of a discount. So I'll keep you up to date with that. But I'm really excited. This is only my second ever brand partnership that I've done. I love the way that they run their business. I love their products, and it's something that I definitely want to share. So feel free to check them out. And last thing I want to say is please, please leave a voicemail if you feel called to. If there's anything that you want to share with me, if there's any questions you want to ask, I would love to know. The link to leave a voicemail is also in the show notes, so check that out. And if you do enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe, but it is really helpful if you can leave a review, share it with a friend, and tell somebody about it. It really helps me out. I enjoy this. I do this just for fun. I'm not making any money. I did get approved to turn on ads for the podcast, but I haven't wanted to do that. I find when I'm listening to podcasts and there's ads, it really interrupts the flow for me, and I want to see if I can do this without ads. So I did turn on a support the podcast if you feel called to support, but obviously you can support in other ways by sharing it, telling it to a friend, or getting yourself something from Moon Body Soul or now Abbott Coffee. Thank you guys so much. I know there are so many things that you could be listening to. And if you've made it this far and you're listening to me, I am so grateful. I can't believe it. Thank you. I hope you have a beautiful day.